I'd like you to turn in your hymn book to 471. We're not going to sing it, but I just wanted to mention a couple things here today. Is the Lord of your heart this morning? Is the Lord of your heart? Jesus Christ died on a cross for us to save us from sin, to give us new life, but some of us are not living that way. We make a profession of that we love God and that we have trusted Him, but many of us are not living like we should. And I'm not picking anyone out individually here this morning, but you know who you are. As we sing this song, you know, the first verse, Jesus, my Heavenly Father, King of the heavens you are. That's true. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. He's the Master. The second song, loving and caring, forgiving. Jesus Christ paid our debt on the cross of Calvary. He sacrificed for us. The eternal Lord God, our Creator, died for us that we might have eternal life. You are the Lord of my heart. Is Jesus the Lord of your heart this morning? We bicker, we murmur, we complain. Last week I preached a message from Ephesians 4, and you can turn there. We're going to be looking at that again this morning. Just after the service, there was complaining. You know, I can't change hearts. I can't change your mind. Some of you go home, you watch videos. You say, I love Jesus, and watch videos where there's nakedness or nudity or other terrible things. And we say, well, that's just a movie. Folks, we're getting pumped full of Hollywood. Is the Lord of your heart? Our churches around the world are a mess. Religion is a mess. And the only one who can help us get things sorted out is our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? He died for us. He was buried and He rose again. But we forget the great sacrifice that He made, the suffering that the Lord experienced for you and me. He paid our debt. He was died on a cross, Romans 3, an open display before the world. He took the reproach, the suffering, the agony to change our life. To change our life. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Are we dealing with sin? Are you dealing with your sin? If we talk bad about somebody, that's sin. And we struggle with sin, but we have to deal with it. And it's so easy just to say, well, it's not that bad. How bad is it? It's bad enough that Jesus died on the cross for us. That's how bad it is. It's bad enough that our Creator paid our debt. That's how bad it is. And we mustn't allow it to go unchecked. So is the Lord really the Lord of your heart? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. Trusting the Lord brings us into a new relationship, not just a ticket to heaven. It's a relationship with the true living God. If you feel it's just a ticket to heaven, There's no salvation in that, I don't believe. Has your life changed? I hear of people in town talking about other Christians, talking about the partying. Oh, we're going to have great parties, and there's the drinking and other stuff that goes on. And what kind of a testimony is that? We have influence for good or bad. We can influence people towards Christ. Where's your heart today? I gave the illustration, or it was a drama where people came into church. We did this in another church, and they were on their knees, and they came in on their knees walking and sitting in their seats. And the preacher came and said, Jesus gave us legs. We need to use them. The legs speak of that new life, of walking a new walk, talking a new talk, living the kind of life that's going to honor God. And they all say, yeah, well, great, and that's so exciting, and yes, and then he stand up. We got legs. We can live that new life because of what Jesus did for us, and to walk with him, and to spread the gospel, and to live the kind of life that we ought to live. And the moment the preacher gets done preaching and says, you're dismissed, and they go back on their knees and leave. Folks, there's too much of that. We hear a message, and then we leave, but there's no change. I can't bring that change. Only the Spirit of God can. And I pray, I say, God, work in hearts. Change lives. And I pray God to work in my heart to change me and to change you. And I pray that God will get a fire under you to stir you up for the things of God. There's no growth if there's no change. I'd like you to turn to Ephesians 4, please. We looked at this last week, and I just felt God wanted me to bring this again. We're going to look at Colossians as well. What is the purpose for the preacher? Why is there pastors? Why do we even have church? The Lord redeemed his church, it says in Ephesians 5. We're redeemed, and we meet together for fellowship and also to hear the teaching, the preaching of God's word. Since the early church in Acts, believers met together to celebrate what Jesus had done for them, and to get a good meal of God's word. In Ephesians chapter 4, he gave gifts in verse 11. There was the fivefold gifts there. And the God used the ministerial gifts. I believe that the apostles and prophets were used for a time. And that's in chapter 2 of Ephesians. The continuing ministries through pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Look at verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfect, perfecting there, means to equip, but it's a word that is used in mending nets, and fishermen here know what that is. So if there's a hole in a net, you got to mend it. We got a bunch of holes in our lives, and only Jesus can mend those. But how does he do it? Through the teaching and preaching of God's word. Through a daily diet of God's word. We talked about the five R's. Do you remember that from last week? And we'll get into that in just a minute. The perfecting of the saints. So my job, the job of the pastor, where when you leave the Nelchik and you go your separate ways and go back to your homes, your churches, that pastor, that church, is to preach, to feed, to help you, to point out what God's word says so that we can live a life that's honoring to God. And that is so important to our God. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior this morning, and you know you're saved, I want you to raise your hand. You are an ambassador. Brother Lehman, what does an ambassador do?
Ambassador represents its country in another place. That's one definition of an ambassador. And, you know, proclaims the message of the home country.
Okay. So where's our home country if we know Jesus as our Savior? Heaven. We're heaven bound. We're going there. And we represent the Lord, and we have a message from our home country to this lost and dying world about Jesus Christ. But sometimes what we do with our hand, where we go with our feet, what comes out of our mouth is not very good. We'll say, I love Jesus, and the next time we say, the F word, the S word, and all those other words. We say we love Jesus. We go to places where we shouldn't go. Folks, we got to get serious about this thing with the things of God. If we're going to be the representatives we ought to be, you have to allow God to stir your heart. Turn to Jeremiah 31, please. We're going to go back to Ephesians, but please turn to Jeremiah 31. Israel was going through a terrible time. There was a lot of trouble. And God used other nations to come and to chastise Israel. And the Babylonians went to an area where they set their base to send out their armies and their bands of troops, and just about annihilated Israel and Judah. And in verse 15 it says, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refused to be comforted because they were not. And it was the same text that was used when King Herod went and slaughtered many children, thinking he could kill the child Jesus. And so Jeremiah was a literal weeping and wailing because their children were taken in captivity, but they would never see them again. But what I want to bring out is verse 18 and 19 here. I've surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Do you ever get on your knees and say, God, turn me. Get me right. Surely after that I was turned, verse 19, I repented. God, open my eyes to see. After that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. You know, we finally see. And I was ashamed, yea, and even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. We need to grow in our God. Go back to Ephesians 4. As believers, we need to get our hearts right so God can use us. Many times I get up in the morning and I just open my Bible and pray, God, do a work in my heart so that I can be a witness and a testimony to those I see in today. But my job as the preacher is verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. And I work hard at that, praying, visiting, making phone calls, texting, sending emails. But the main thing is preaching and teaching on a Sunday morning. But how can I do that more than I am? I can't. And it's got to be God's work in your heart and you listening. Verse 12 also tells us something else, that some of the results of that, but it's work that you must do. It's the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. So the work of the ministry, that has many facets to it. We just heard about camp work, and there's helping the sick and praying and children's ministry, Sunday school, and it goes on, and evangelism. Maybe it's sharing the gospel, and there's many aspects to the ministry. And then it talks about the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying is building up, building up. There's times even God told Jeremiah, you got to tear down, but then there's that rebuilding again. And look at verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's three things, fullness of Christ, excuse me, there's three things in verse 13 that are very important. If preaching is done right, if it's from the Word of God, not just stories, not just man's opinion, it's got to be God's Word. It says that till we all come into the unity of faith, till we all come, that word come means we arrive at something. We're wanting to arrive at something. And that is the unity of the faith. The knowledge of the Son of God, knowing more about Jesus Christ. Knowing more about Jesus Christ. I'd like you to turn, hold your finger there, turn to 2 Peter, please. What? It's not on? I thought it was on. It says green. Do you want me to shout louder? What's that? The babies are awake, yeah. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. There's a ton of text that came to my mind. I tell you what. Anyway, I 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 is a chapter on spiritual growth. And I've preached this several times in church here. And it's a chapter on spiritual growth, and it talks about the knowledge of God, the way we combat error. 2 Peter teaches to combat error is through knowledge, right? So we need to know our God. We need to know what the Bible says so that we can help people to see the truth, because there's many imposters. Yesterday or Friday, I was helping set up signs for the pancake breakfast. And one of the fellow EMTs were talking a little bit. And this man, I believe, knows the Lord as a Savior. And we're talking about, I don't know how we got onto it. We started talking about churches and religion and so on. And he mentioned that today we live in apostasy, a departure from the things of God. And isn't that what God said in the last days? That there would be a great falling away? Didn't he say that? In 2 Thessalonians? Yes. And then I asked this question. I said, are you reading your Bible? He went like this, kind of looked up. He said, well, a little bit. Little bit. There's too much little bits. Knowledge, growing in knowledge. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? Knowledge, grace and peace. We need peace. We need God's grace. It's multiplied. It's duplicated. It's I don't know. It's just a bunch. Grace and peace through the knowledge of God. I was so full of anxiety here recently, and I struggle with that. Does anybody else struggle with that once in a while? You wake up, you're anxious a little bit. I'm the only one? And I, you know, you get full of anxiety, and what brings you back to reality is God's in control, His sovereignty, His providential dealings. He's not full of anxiety. He tells us to pray. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and God helped me. Verse 5 says, and besides this, there's many promises. Verse 4 talks about he's given us great promises. We're partakers of the divine nature, a very part of God. And then he says, besides this, giving all diligence, you got to add something. That's your part. If you're coming to church to get spoon-fed, that's not very good. Then you're a baby. I don't want to stay a baby. I don't want you to stay a baby. That's immaturity. If you leave this church and then have me for lunch, that's immaturity. Isn't it? How can you be praising Jesus and complaining about your brother in the same breath? That's immaturity. Out of the same mouth proceed a blessing and cursing. Paul James says, my brethren, this ought not to be so. And I think we've all been guilty of that. Add to your faith, it talks about virtue, moral excellence. Moral excellence. Knowledge. Temperance, patience, or perseverance. And it goes on and on and on about what we need to do. And look at what he says. Okay, let's go down to verse 8. If these things be in you and abound, what does the word abound mean? What does abound mean? Lots of it. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unfruitful. You won't be unfruitful. If these things abound in you, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Barren means there's nothing there. Somebody comes up to you and says, are you a Christian? Yeah. What did Jesus do for you? And you struggle to say that? To say what Jesus did for you? I'm not saying you're not saved if you struggle, but man, what an opportunity. What an opportunity. Or if I ask you in a church service, hey, brother, would you stand up and give us your testimony? Oh, I don't know. Well, God will give us grace. I'm just saying we need to grow. Go back to Ephesians 4. Look at verse 14. No more children. That's immaturity, tossed to and fro with different doctrines and teachings. And when I was in college, I took a course on world religions. World religions. I thought, well, I need to know what everyone believes. How do you know a counterfeit? How do you know counterfeits? Because you know the real ones so well, right? So I'm thinking, wait a minute. I don't need to study world religions. I just need to know my God so well and my Jesus so well and my Bible so well, you can pick up a counterfeit immediately. And that's what we need. We need that. But people are tossed to and fro and terrible. Look at verse 15. But speaking in truth, love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head in Christ. Grow up means maturity. It's the opposite of being children in verse 14. Growing up. Growing up in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I'd like you to go back to the last part of verse 13. Okay, so we talked in 13, unity, maturity. The last part is the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That is Christ-likeness. So Christianity, what is Christianity? It's disciples of Jesus, Christ likeness. It's not religion. Do we know the difference? It's Christ likeness. And so if we're getting into the Word, God points us to Jesus, right? So we can be more Christ-like. That's Christianity. And that's what this is talking about. So as we grow, you know, the unity, the knowledge of the Lord unto a perfect man, spiritual maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the goal is Christ-likeness. That's my goal for you, to be more like Jesus. So as I think about my Christian life, my testimony, I walk a holy walk, right? God talks about the new life in Christ, a holy, righteous life. That's Ephesians chapter 4 as well. So my Christianity now is holiness and righteousness. Doing what is right towards fellow man. Holy because God's Spirit is holy and He dwells within. That's why I'm uncomfortable when I see things that are unholy or hear things that are unholy or even want to do things that are unholy. Oh God, He sees my thoughts, my heart. I don't live in a constant wondering if what God's going to do to me, but I do sense the sin that's within my heart. And then I have to get on my knees privately and I pray and ask God to cleanse me and help me to be right, because I want a right relationship with God all the time. That's how we're supposed to live. Verse 16 talks about the whole body fitly joined together, close together. Sometimes, I don't feel very close to my brothers sometimes. Things bother us and we get troubled. But that's what this says. Whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, its support, we work together, loving each other, understanding, spiritual understanding, not misunderstanding. Hey, I agree, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. Listen, I got people who say, only send me a text. I got people who say, only send me an email. I got people who say, only give me a phone call. I got people, what am I supposed to do about that? Okay, so I send a text on this one. Let's see, who's that? Okay, send an email on this one, and then I miss somebody. And that easily happens. Okay. Be understanding. Say, oh, maybe, you know. So you be understanding. Oh, so-and-so said this. Well, do you know what they really meant when they said that? Well, I got hurt by that. Well, wait, hold on a minute. Hold. Step back. Do you know what was in their mind when they said that? Maybe they were going through a bad experience. Could that happen? Have you ever had a sour face when you're going through a bad experience and somebody said, how are you? And I said, oh, fine, you know. Oh, he's something bad. You know, no, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. We got to be folks, people of understanding. And not read into what somebody says or what they do or where they go. We got to be very careful. I'm kind of getting off on rabbit trails, okay? All right, the five R's in verse, it talks about fitly joined together, compacted, every joint supplieth, working in measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Increase there is growth, spiritual growth. Not just talking about numerical growth. That's a part. Have you all had a bad night last night? Some of you are falling asleep. There's eyes closed. I hope you're doing all right here. All right, let me give you the five R's. Number one, the right one is the right food. What kind of spiritual food do you need? Get into the Word of God. Are you reading God's Word every day? I hope so. This one lady came to me and she said, Pastor, I'm really struggling spiritually. So I'm praying. I said, yeah, okay. And I said, God, give me wisdom, know what to say. And she starts sharing with me her heart, and it's in a counseling time, and we're talking, and I'm listening, and I start thinking, God's Word, God's Word, God's Word. So I said, hold on a minute. Are you reading God's Word? That's the greatest medicine, nutrition, spiritually for us. And she bowed her head and she said, I haven't read God's Word in a week. I said, no wonder. No wonder. This lady came to a doctor and she says, you know, I struggle with this and I you know, I'm angry all the time and I get envious. And she's really opening up. It's a Christian lady to a Christian doctor, and she starts opening up, and, you know, they can give these sugar pills out. You know what those are? What do they call those? Huh? Placebo. You know, I'm going to take this. It's going to help. Oh, I'm feeling better. You know, it's kind of it's all up here. Anyway, So he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't believe in that. And she starts describing everything, you know, stomach ache, and she started with ulcers. She got headache and backache and all the other, you know, all the things, you know. And he's starting to go through. He checks her out, and he says, "You know what? You need some really good medicine." She's, "Oh, I'm ready for that." "What is it?" He said, "You get up at a certain time, and I want you to spend a half an hour reading your Bible, and then a few minutes or long minutes praying and asking God to give you understanding." She said, "Oh." He said, "That's your medicine." And so she started doing that, and guess what? She started doing better. Doing better. The right food, the right exercise. Similar to the right food, prayer, Bible reading, witnessing, taking time to apply the Word of God, and that goes to the right work for God. Some people think they're serving God and they're not. You need to learn the right work, and then there's the right fellowship. Get into fellowship. Not like the one guy I talked to him just 2 weeks ago. "How you doing, man?" And doing really well, and you know, family and all that. And I said, "Where are you going to church?" He said, "Well, we're not." I said, "Why not? You know, have you heard that? Why not? You know, I mean, they say they're not going to church, and your thought is, why not? Kind of a thing. Why aren't you going to church? We need to be in church." And he says, "Well, we just get our church over the internet. We listen to a church up in Washington. This guy's in some other state. I don't remember where he is." So, and I said, whoa, hold on a minute. That's not church. You need Christian fellowship. You need the camaraderie of brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need that. We need that. So it's the right fellowship. And then you need the right rest, and that's resting in Jesus. Now, I wanted to close my message this morning with another passage. I'd like you to turn there, and I'll try to tie this up. Ephesians chapter 3. Colossians, I'm sorry. Thank you. Colossians chapter 3, and I've preached on this many times. I would like you, if you get some time today with your family here in the next couple of days before you really get stuck back into work, or use this for devotions, read Colossians chapter 3. It talks about being risen with Christ. And set your affection, your mind on the things of God, because we're going there. We're going there. We're going to be with the Lord soon. That's in verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 talks about set your affection. And Christ, who is our life, he's going to appear. We will appear with him in glory. And talks about what God does not want us to do, mortify, put it to death. Stand against sin. Stand with God against your sin. That's what this is really coming out. Mortify, therefore, your members, the things that are so part of you. That's the old life. We still have this terrible body of sin, and it wants to suck us into the things of this world, and you stand with God against that. The world doesn't understand that, right? Look at verse 7. In which you also walked sometime when you lived in it. That was then. That was that old life. And now it talks about don't lie to each other and put off, you know, other things. Verse 10, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created. The new man is that new life that we have in Christ. And put on that new man. I tell you, I get around firefighters. Firefighters can be the worst cussers, or whatever you want to call them. Oh, my, well, Joseph, you knew that in the military. Every third word is, you know what it is, and sheetrockers, well, okay. Or like the lady said that the bus or the truck drivers can't get saved, and why not? Well, listen, God saves us from all walks of life. You get around that stuff for a while, what kind of words start forming in your brain? You got to stand against that. Welders, right? I was a welder. Okay. Look at verse 12. Put on, therefore. Put on means be clothed. Be clothed. We be clothed with the things of God. Now, let's just look at this. I know our time is zipping away here. Look at verse 12. Everybody in Colossians 3, I hope you're there. Please, if you're not there, at least look down so it makes me think you're there. Colossians 3, put on therefore as what? The elect of God, that's your position. God chose you. Why did he do that? We can ask him one day. Why would he choose me? I don't know. Holy, that's your character. You are a saint. A saint. Can I say this? Start acting like one. Living like one. You are a saint. And I'm a sinner just like the rest of you. But my goodness, I just want God to make me holy as he is. For he is holy, he said, be holy. Beloved, that's your relationship. You are elect, holy, and beloved. Wow! What more do we ask for? What more do we ask for? Chosen by God, given eternal life, on our way to heaven. We're so close, it's almost though we're already there. Ephesians talks about it. Holy, a saint. You don't have to die to be a saint. Because you are one if you know Jesus as your Savior. Wow. Can you? A saint. A saint. You know, if you talk to somebody and say, hey, I got this little saint that's protecting me on the airway, just say, take a picture of me and put it there instead. You know? You are a saint. You are a saint. If you know Jesus, that's what it, folks, look, see the word holy there? Tie that in with Hebrews chapter 10. He's perfected us. Somebody said, oh, I want to get perfected. You already are if you know Jesus. What more? Hebrews chapter 7 says, we're what does it say? Verse 25, he saved us to the uttermost. There's nothing more that needs to be done. Nothing more. I'm ready to go right now. If I died right now today, I am ready to go. Ready to go. And if you question whether you're ready to go, something's wrong. Okay, and then I'm not going to go through this, okay? The whole thing. I can't read everything because of our time. But in verse 12, it talks about mercies, bowels of mercy, it's affection, kindness. Verse 13, bearing one another. Forbearing, that's putting up with, being patient with. Quarreling, if you have a quarrel against any, complaint or blame, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Aren't you glad God doesn't take you and open you up in front of everybody? All the trash and all the stuff that shouldn't be there. Why do we think we have the right to do that? Like the person told me one time, you're thinking, this is what you're thinking. I said, no, I'm not. And they said, yes, you are. I can tell. I said, remember that, Africa? I said, how can I? No, that's not what I'm thinking. Oh my goodness. Put on love, verse 14, above all things, put on love, charity, which is the bond of perfect. That bond is what holds us together. Let's get held together, folks, through love. We look past the idiosyncrasies, we look past the faults, we look past the mistakes, we look past the whatever. Okay? Husband and wife can really have it at odds. Let's work on that. And I'm almost done. Okay, bear with me here. Peace, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. The word rule means an umpire, kind of the arbitrator thing. Okay, God's peace. And then let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in verse 16. Wow. Look at verse 17. I'll stop here. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hi, brother. How are you doing today? It is so good to see you. And I'm thinking in my mind, what a rascal. You know, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. So if I go up and greet somebody in the name of Jesus, I better mean it. Right? Because God sees my heart. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows what's in there. And God wants to help us. Let's grow in Jesus. Let's grow in Jesus. And right now, I just like to have you just pray. We're going to have a moment of prayer. And you ask God, just flood your soul, cleanse you by the blood of Christ. I didn't preach this for you to leave and say, oh no. You know, no, that's not why I'm saying it. I said, yeah, we got to look within, but let's ask for God for cleansing so we can leave rejoicing at the goodness and grace of Almighty God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteous, and then it's over. It's over. Let's just have a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray for my church, that you would cleanse us by the blood of Jesus, by your blood. Wash us clean. Forgive each one of their faults, their mistakes, their failures, their blasphemy, whatever else is there, Lord. We misunderstand one another. We judge one another. You're the judge, not us. Please cleanse our heart this morning. We get older, we get stuck in our ways. It gets harder, Lord. We ask for mercy. That we'd leave here with a renewed desire to live for Jesus, to live the gospel. Father, help us, we pray. Have mercy and stir our hearts for the things of God. That we'd be careful what we say, how we say it, where we go, what we do. Knowing that there's a God in heaven who sees our life, not to just be critical and judge, but to love and to lift us up, who is grieved over our sin. Oh God, we pray for cleansing. Too much of us live hypocritically. Oh God, we need to help when we're on the internet not to look at terrible things, things we ought not to take time for, or watching a movie to have the courage to say, no, I'm not going to watch that. God, please give us grace. Help us in Jesus' name. And forgive, I ask. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you all. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.